Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. This is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening? And today is Tuesday, May 16th. And soon we will be celebrating and observing the life of Malcolm X on Friday, May 19th. As usual in Harlem, there will be the bus vigil to his burial site. And tonight, Brother Ralph is en route and traveling, and in his absence, I will read his creed. The overriding element in every situation or circumstance in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered, except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our labors for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, moved lynching indoors. The police, as the army of occupation, have taken lynching outside again. The lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media. Because the lives of our heroes and heroes who once protected us in our community do not matter to us, the people. Our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle and resistance can recreate our image in our own minds as well as the minds of others. Wake up! Now is the time. And so this is Sister Betty Davis, and I want to give you part of our theme. As usual, we say an analysis of oppression requires an analysis and anatomy of colonialism and imperialism. In other words, an anatomy of the American capitalist system. And tonight we're discussing the T word. The T word stands for terror against the old guard. But this time the T stands for Trump. And we are saying Trump has his snout in the public trough, making the old guard, i.e., the neocons and the Democrats, crazy, because now their snouts are being pushed out. So this will be part of our discussion this evening. But before we go to that part of our program, we want to acknowledge that Sister Ann is in the house, Brother Larry is in the house, and our resident poet is with us. And we will start with our poet because we always want to acknowledge Sister Lynn gave us political liberation poetry as part of her contribution to our program. So in acknowledgement and remembrance of Sister Lynn, we want to say, Brother Nat, your mic is open, and are you ready to provide your inspiration for us this evening?
Sure. This is called Mother, May I. Mother, may I ask the meaning of Moab, M-O-A-B. Mother of all bridges, mother of all buses, mother of all roads, mother of all trains, mother of all internets, mother of all parks, mother of all playgrounds, mother of all arts programs, mother of all free education, mother of all health care, mother of all housing, mother of all maternity leaves, mother of low infant mortality, mother of all food programs, mother of all non-GMOs, mother of all organic farms, mother of all clean water, mother of all transparency, mother of all integrity, mother of all income equality. Oh, you get the idea, Mr. Mother Bleep.
All right. We want to thank Brother Nat Turner for his wonderful presentation. And none of us will ever forget his hymn to Lynn at the memorial in Manhattan. And before we follow our usual pattern and go to Brother Ralph, I see his phone is having difficulty. He's trying to sign in, but it's not opening up on our board. We're going to try and let him come in again. And there he is, Brother Ralph. The mic is open. I read your credo. If you want to read it again, I'll understand. And Brother Nat has just given us our opening political liberation poem. Are you ready?
Okay. Thank you so very much. I know you did it very well. I'm on the West Coast. I got my time mixed up, but here I am to talk about what we have this week, one of the things we must remember is our political prisoners who have been our greater warriors and who have done their time and who have been successfully released must be participants in our struggle to free our other political prisoners. And they can only do so with encouragement that we, the lesser warriors who have been given space by their actions, are up to the task of freeing them. Because you know this government is going further and further towards fascism, and every action against the government is called terror. If you stop people from suffering the corporate juggernaut such as out in Benton Harbor with Reverend Pinckney, we haven't heard from Reverend Pinckney for a while, but we must remember he was the first to tell us about managers. What do we call them? Fiscal managers sent in by the state. It was a fraud. And he told us first, and we didn't listen. He fought Whirlpool about water. We didn't listen. And then we have a choice. Poison water. And what happened when Reverend Pinckney fought the corporations and fought about the water, the NAACP and the Democratic Party did not support him. As a matter of fact, the NAACP was against him. And so we must remember this as we move forward in all of our struggles. We must remember who people are, the value of our political prisoners. And I often refer to a young woman from Ireland, from Northern Ireland, Sinead O'Connor, who angered the world when she spoke out against the Pope. And the name of her song was Know Your Enemy. And this is the thing that we must do. We must know our enemy and act that way. So as the Democratic Party and all of the organizations who claim to be for liberation struggle move forward, we must remember who is moving forward and who is moving backward. Back to you, Sister Betty.
All right. You should know that your reception is not coming in too well. It's not as clear as it usually is. But perhaps it just needs a little tweaking on your part. Without further ado, we want to say again that we are talking about the T word, and we are saying that T stands for terror against the of God. And to be able to discuss the relationship of Trump and his politics as it affects the old guard, the neocons, and the Democrats. Without further ado, Brother Larry, are you in the house?
Yes, my sister, I am in the house. All bow to the people. Thank you so very much. As always, I want to express my respect, my love, my kudos to you, Sister Professor Betty Davis, to Brother Ralph Poynter, to the spirit of our Sister Lynn Stewart, to Ann Lamb, who I'm looking forward always to hearing from, to Tom and Joe, and all the rest who will be on the program tonight. All bow to the people. Let me just say, first and foremost, I have some sad news, and I just want to say it like it is. We lost Brother on the 9th of May, 9th of this month, Brother Sekou Kambui,
yes.
Who died on the 9th of May. Brother Kambui, Brother Sekou was both a member of the Black Panther Party and a member of the Republic of New Africa, as I was as well, both a Panther and an RNA Minister of Interior. I just want to point out that this brother spent 47 years as a political prisoner. And, you know, enough is enough. Our political prisoners, women and men, men and women, enough is enough, brothers and sisters. When are we going to stand up as human beings and say, we've had it? This will not happen. We will not allow this to happen. But anyway, with all due respect to Brother Seiko, I just want to extend my greetings to his family, to his friends, to his comrades, to his relatives. You know, all power to may you rest in power. Rest in power, because the struggle continues. And you're going to be right there with Sister Lynn. And I know y'all are going to be doing it, all right? Y'all are going to be taking care of the people's business. The spirit, that's what it's all about. The spirit of the struggle, the spirit of the people, the spirit of the revolution continues. So, having said that, I really felt it important to make that point. Now, I'm going to move on very quickly to another point, which might upset some people, so be it. But I just want to remind folks that the sheep herder, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Bernie Sanders. The sheep herder, the sheepdog, all right, the sheepdog is still out there trying to sheepdog folks into the Democratic Party, talking about our revolution. Well, it's not our revolution. It's not his revolution. As a matter of fact, it's not a revolution at all. What it is a counter-revolution to the struggle of everyday, ordinary black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. And Sanders is pushing this jive-time, half-stepping, lame-ass, crap, okay, I'm trying to be diplomatic, talking about what he's doing is nationwide. He's trying to unseat even those people who have fought the Democratic Party, may have been members, like Cynthia McKinney was a member, but she fought the Democratic Party. But, you know, he's trying to unseat even those who were affiliated with the Democratic Party, who fought for the people. Let's wake up. Let's not go for the ghosts. Let's understand where this guy is coming from, you know. And they talk about old white men. Well, I'm not talking about old white men, old black men, old white women, old black women. I'm talking about the power to the people. And enough is enough. We're tired of being hoodwinked and bamboozled, as Brother Malcolm X said. And that's what Sanders and his so-called Our Revolution.com is all about, bamboozling, taking control, and we must not allow that to happen. Anyway, moving on, I just want to again express my appreciation to everyone who listens to this program. It's really important. It's important because you need to share it. Share it. You know, this is the so-called technological age, even though Dr. King said that technology has surpassed our humanity, and I think Dr. King was right about that. Brother Malcolm echoed that. In fact, Brother Malcolm, even before King said that, pointed out that humanity had lost its way. But my point is simply this, that all of us will remember, not just remember, it's not just about remembering, it's about supporting our political prisoners, whether it's Seth Hayes, whether it's Mumia Abdul-Jamal, whether it's Leonard Peltier, whether it's, I mean, I could go on and on and on, all right? But the point is, if we do not support them and get them the hell out, then we do not support ourselves. And we must, at least I would hope, that we would support our own humanity. So in doing so, our political prisoners must be free. Lynn Stewart was a political prisoner, but while she was in prison, she fought for other prisoners, be they so-called political prisoners or not. While I was in prison, I did the same thing. The point is that we, those of us who are outside of the physical walls, must do that for ourselves and for each other, for our children, for our grandchildren, all right? I can't emphasize that. I cannot overemphasize that. So I'm going to get off right now. I'll be listening, and I just want to say, you know what? Stop all this Trump madness. Because you know what the madness is? It's systemic madness. Nothing changed. Nothing's changed. I wrote a song when I was in prison called Nothing Has Changed. Nothing has changed. And we need to understand that if we're going to make any kind of change, it has to be systemic change. Not Democrat, not Republican, but systemic. All power to the people. Love you all. I'm looking forward to hearing from everybody. Love you. All power to the people. Free our political prisoners now. All power to the people. Thank you so much.
Well, Brother Ralph, are you back? Okay. Well, Larry, I'm going to thank you for those comments, and we'll be getting back to you later on. I do want to say that in New York, different so-called black institutions are trying to resurrect Hillary Clinton. They actually have the nerve to try to project her as a commencement speaker at one of our historically black colleges, Medgar Evers College.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who are in the New York area, we would appreciate if you would join us. We'll be protesting in front of Medgar Evers College on Bedford Avenue in Brooklyn tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and then again on Friday. Those of you who are not going to be getting on the bus to go to the burial ground for Malcolm X, we hope you'll join us from 3 to 5, once again in front of Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn on Bedford Avenue. And we're also circulating a petition online to make it clear that no one who calls our youth social predators should be allowed to speak anywhere, but especially at a college commencement service. And Brother Ralph, are you back with us yet?
Yes, I am, and I would like people to attend that demonstration because you must remember who Hillary Clinton is. Here we are, 2017, and we're tolerating slavery. And you're having the speaker for graduation, a person who supports slavery. That is Hillary Clinton. In Haiti, while she and Brother Bill and ex-president Bush were supposed to be involved with fundraising, they stole $6 billion. And the first expenditure was a 10-year salary for Hillary's daughter, plus a wedding out of the money that was supposed to be used for earthquake relief. And the crime of that is not only stealing, but she took the money, loaned it to people, her friends, to build businesses, to hire people, not at 80 cents an hour, not at 70 cents an hour, but for 50 and 40 cents an hour. Now, I don't know the technicalities of what the word slavery is, but I know it when I see it. Hillary Clinton is a slaver, and she has no business speaking. And the administrator, Rudy Crewe, who is nothing more than a colonial administrator working for the Democratic Party to reintroduce Hillary into the public, to clean up her name on the backs of Haiti and the students who are looking to find their way in this world. What has Medgar Evers College become? But a bourgeois-making factory? Those who would call slavery a peculiar institution. Are we back to that? Are we back to tolerating that? I say no, and everybody in the vicinity should be there to chastise colonial administrator Rudy Crewe, send him back where he came from, because he has a history, if anyone dare go to their computer, of destroying educational systems. Sister Betty Davis is responsible for running him out of New York and firing five district superintendents, having many people fired because he did the A word, the audit word. They had to get rid of Rudy and his cohorts, many of them. Many people could not get back in the system, but I say this with tongue in cheek, because this is the way they fronted. This is the way they fake punishment for those who do need it. So now remember, be there to support yourself, support the students with mental effort. We are going to be there tomorrow, and we're also going to crash the Barclay Center if they dare have her try to present herself at the graduation that is being held at Barclay Center. Thank you for that, Betty. I'm sorry I took so much time, but I think it's very important that people know these facts and understand this.
Can I interject for 1 second?
Yes, Brother Matt. Is this Matt? Is this Larry?
No, this is Larry.
Go
ahead, Larry.
Can you hear me?
I just want to say that I think it's very important. I mean, this radio show is heard nationally and probably globally. And I want to say that it is extremely important. As Smokey Robinson would say, I want to second that emotion as far as what Brother Ralph Pointer said. You dig? And it's really important that people in the New York area, the New York, New Jersey area, turn out to let folks know that we don't want this war criminal speaking to our young people. Hillary Clinton, also known as Hillary Clinton, is a war criminal. She is the one, along with Barack Obama, who destroyed the sovereign nation of Libya, North Africa. Yes. Let us remember that. She is also the one who referred to black folk as predators. All right? Let us not forget who we are, what we are, and where we're coming from. So I just want to urge everyone in the New York and New Jersey area, and if you happen to be visiting there, get out there. Be with them. You know, enough is enough. She will not be resurrected. We will put her where she belongs, and we will drive a metaphoric, euphemistic stake through her vampiric heart. All power to the people. I just had to say that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Larry. We really appreciate your reinforcement. We wonder why we cannot get our community to support our political. One of the problems, if somebody needs to mute their phone, static on the background. Thank you. Our community gets fake news 24/7. Yep. And when we allow such an act as this to go down, we are validating this fake news. And it's interesting that Brother Larry said there is no difference. And that's the whole point of showing why the Democrats are really upset with Trump. It's not because of the reasons that those of us who don't like fascism or don't like capitalism have. It's because he's doing a better job of robbing and raping and killing than they could do. And that means they won't be able to get the biggest share of the capitalist pig trough. And therefore, there is no difference between them. We've got to say, you know, to hell with both their houses. We're going a different way. But it is interesting that when we were picketing the last time in front of that college, many of the so-called college students did not know that Hillary was coming, and were not aware of some of the international criminal acts that she had committed. So when you come, it is an educational opportunity, and you can educate them about many things. Sister Ann, your mic is open.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, very important to be at Medgar Evers tomorrow. What's the nearest train station? People might not know exactly where Medgar.
The IRT. That can be either the two or the three.
To Bedford.
And when you get off on the IRT, you'll be on Nostrand Avenue, and you're going to be walking in the direction of Cowell Street. Anyone can give you directions because the college is well known.
Okay, great. All right, so I have some good news.
Yes.
Yep. They have finally actually installed Seth's insulin pump today. I talked to Seth today and also to Jaleel. They both send warm greetings to everybody who works on this program and everybody who listens to this program. So finally, it has been working well so far. They haven't attached a monitor part yet. They have them in the infirmary so they can, you know, sort of keep an eye on them and make sure everything's working well. But if sugars have been in the 90 to 100 range all day, which is incredible, right? and he's feeling good on that level. Of course, he did have his Article 78, appeal of his parole denial turned down. So Eve will be visiting tomorrow. Eve Rosan is his lawyer to come up with our next steps. How do we get this into a higher court like New York State Supreme? So that will be really good. So I was very happy to hear that because it seemed that they had been, really delaying it. And I wanted to read a wonderful poem by my friend Mr. Jaleel Muntakim, which people may or may not have heard before. It is called With All My Heart, and it is really quite beautiful and fits into what we're talking about. Bound by chains, you would claim they sustain a reason to remain sane in a world of racial turmoil. Each link with each desperate move tightens across your chest, making breathing uneasy when a single child was unable to eat, sleep, or live free. Wrapped in a steel coil as would an anaconda, resistance is futile. You settled yourself with a determined will to challenge and unselfishly transform its embrace into the kinetic energy of a revolutionary. You knew its squeeze would only make you stronger. Captured in its gray polished glint, motivated, never to relent, arming yourself and others with notions of freedom, emancipation, and liberation, to think free, to live free, despite efforts to incapacitate the beauty of your words, ideas, and spirit of action. The metallic chains rattle and clink when they attract the rusty metal filings of curious minds who want to know the meaning of your chains. Why were you bound so tight, like a magnetic force? They came to you twisting and flailing with misunderstandings and interpretations of American history and what it means to be a woman. And with every attraction, the chains became more restrictive, grew stronger in knowing your soul could not be harnessed or contained. The chains bit into your flesh, gnawing into your bones, the marrow of your existence, and you gleefully accepted, giddy as your lifeblood escaped its capillaries, seeping into dry earth to nourish the gardens and pastures of rebellion and insurrection. The sacrifice that only those similarly chained know. Against all odds, the fruit of your labor gave birth to many more prepared, ready, eager to be chained, bound by your example. For it is often said, one labors for that which one loves. One loves that for which one labors. For those chains, your chains, our chains, are of love, the love of freedom, the love of humanity, the love of life, that all sincere revolutionaries are bound, the unbreakable chains of love. Each of us are linked until divine providence calls us home. Marilyn, we celebrate your love. And that he wrote, of course, for Marilyn Buck.
That is certainly an example of liberation theology.
Yep.
Liberation. We all need to have it. Thank you.
All right. Without further ado, I want to try and, since Ralph has mentioned the Brother Pinckney, I've been trying to get a previous recording which deals with his update to us because we have not heard from him in such a long time. But in the meantime, I want you to be aware that the Left Forum this year may be in the plenary putting forth
right.
The political prisoner issue
Yes.
That Brother Sekou Odinga, our warrior, will be one of the main speakers. Once again, the Less Forms takes place at John Jay College in Manhattan, New York City. The plenary will be usually around 7 p.m., and it's usually a three-day event starting on Friday evening, June 2nd, Saturday, June 3rd, and culminating on Sunday, June the 4th. So we're hoping that you will be able, if not to attend the forum, to it's always streamed, that you'll be able to listen. And we have Reverend Pinkney here, and I'd like you to take a listen.
Only 90 miles from my home. I'm happy to be here today. Judges, prosecutors, and law enforcement are parasites. A worker is above all a producer. The judges, prosecutors, and law enforcement are parasites who live off what the workers produce. All the material wealth which is now in the possession of the capitalist class was produced by the workers. What has the criminal justice system contributed to the production of this unprecedented amount of wealth? The answer is nothing at all. In fact, their principal function is to guard the wealth for the capitalistic people, to protect their profit from the demands of the workers, the people, and everybody else. The very essence of the capitalist system is to use the criminal justice system to send the cops there to practice the most inhuman brutality against blacks, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, and poor whites and all other minorities. The judges, prosecutors, and law enforcement are the most parasite social group in society. They are hired by the capitalistic class through their agent to keep the mass of the people oppressed in complete subjection to them. They utilize all the forces and violence at their disposal and witness the people rising up in rebellion against the unending, durable condition imposed by the master class. The struggle that has taken place in recent years in Benton Harbor in the state of Michigan is a case in point and one that holds a number of lessons for the American people. The fight in Benton Harbor is a war over whether the American people will have prosperity or democracy or live in poverty under the heels of open corporate rule who are trained in the spirit of war against the workers. Judges, prosecutors, and law enforcement are nothing but mercenaries hired by the capitalist class. Do not ever forget they are the most parasitic group, social group in society. When they do their work, if that's what you want to call them, as possibly can be called work, is directed against their people to oppress, to destroy, to imprison, or even to kill. The judges, prosecutors, law enforcement are intimidating corporations such as gambling, narcotics, and a thousand other shady business. That is what the criminal justice system really engaged in to keep the mass of people and the oppressed in complete suggestion. They are utterly inseparable from crime and corruption. One cannot exist without the other. Both are nourished and supported by the nature of the criminal justice system and the capitalist system itself. Every cent paid to the criminal justice system comes out of the hands of the people, the workers. Let the truth be told, it's time that the people take a stand. It's time that we come together, black, white, red, brown, and yellow, and everybody, all the minorities, and stand up against this corrupt system. It's time that we change the way we do business. It's time that we show them that we are here. We must confront this system, and we must do it together. Let's do it right now. Reverend Edward Pinkney calling from Muskegon Prison.
Wow.
These comments are recorded by Noel Annan of Prison Radio.
So I
excellent.
Think,
Betty, may I cut in at this moment to let people understand that Reverend Pinkney is doing 10 years in prison because he was the first to warn us of the fiscal emergency manager. He had a successful recall petition, and one petition had a date change. Even though there was no chain of possession established by the prosecution, that means where were these petitions? Nobody knew. Many people had them. They were turned over to the office of voting. And then suddenly, after his petition was successful and they recalled the emergency manager, they said a date was changed. They called the people in whose name was on there, it's the so-called change date. They said their intention was to sign a petition to recall the fiscal emergency manager. Remember, that's the people, one of the people who was responsible for the lead in Flint, Michigan, responsible for the water misuse in Detroit, responsible for many evils around the country. Reverend Pinckney recalled the fiscal emergency manager, and the judge, and I was there, said the reason why they were going to sentence Reverend Pinckney was because that signature benefited Reverend Pinckney. Well, I got news for you, folks. That signature supported everybody who believes in democracy. Everybody who doesn't believe in democracy but believes in fairness. That's what that petition benefited. It benefited all of us. But Reverend Pinckney is doing 10 years. Now, tell me about the American judicial system. In New York, 300,000 people were denied the right to vote in the Democratic Party because the Democrats wanted to make sure Hillary got the nod. And she did, and she lost. 300,000 people who wanted to vote for Bernie Sanders were dismissed from the voting ranks. What has happened to them? Reverend Pinckney had nothing to do with the change of date. He didn't need that one signature. He is in jail for 10 years. This is what we're talking about, folks. This is the system we're fighting, and we're calling on you to join us. Now, excuse me for that interruption, buddy. People sometimes go on and on about capitalism, democracy, etc. Let's put it in stark terms of reality. This is what we're talking about when we talk about Reverend Pinckney. Those who see the system and explain it and fight the system are treated atrociously. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about involving oneself to change it. Thanks again. Sorry about that interruption.
Well, thank you, Robert.
All right. I neglected to mention that Brother Tom Syracuse had to have a surgery today.
Oh.
And he sends his encouragement and his regrets. And hopefully he'll be able to join us next week. Again, I apologize for not giving you that update in the very beginning of the program. I want to add here, because I want to do one more message from Reverend Pinckney. I think it's important to hear his words on Sister Lynn. When we talk about political prisoners and what a political prisoner is, it's always something to make it better for the rest of us. And this is why we struggle to get them out. It's not that we're saying one person will make a difference, although that has happened many times. What we are saying is this person made life better for us, was fighting for a better life for us, and we will not tolerate you taking them away from us. It's
up
close and personal. That's
yes,
what
it
it's all about, all right? They have people in prison who have been released who were serial murderers, and yet we have brothers. If you look at this 10-point program of the Panther Party, it reads sometimes almost word for word like the 1965 civil rights legislation. You need to compare the two of them. And you'll see this is what the Panthers were all about. A lot of that legislation is on the books because they made it their 10-point program. And I'm sure Brother Larry can jump in here and help me out.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. This is Larry Pinkney. And I want to point out that the reality is that the Black Panther Party did have a 10-point program that, in fact, imbued the very issues of today and beyond, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, we dealt with political prisoners, the 10-point program platform, as we called it, the 10-point platform and program. We dealt with the issue of housing, incarceration, police brutality, et cetera, et cetera. All right? But my point is that how many of us know that? And it's not about the Black Panther Party. Really, it's not. It's about the warriors. The warriors who were out there, whether it's the Black Panther Party, the Republic of New Africa, the BLA. I could go on and on and on. But the point is that our warriors have been out there fighting for well over a half a century.
Yep.
And then some. Okay? And, you know, Reverend Edward Pinkney, yes, is a political prisoner. Yes, is learning and growing. And I'm pleased to see that. I'm not pleased at all that he's imprisoned. But the fact of the matter is that we need to understand that, frankly, all of us are in prison.
Yes.
We may not be, you know, we may not be behind the physical bars, but we are behind the bars. We are held by the corporations. We are held by the Democrat and Republican parties. And we need to break free from this. My God, as Nina Simone would say, my God, what does it take for us to understand that we need to break free from it? So I'm going to just stop right there. Sister Professor Betty, I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you for letting me interject and cut in. All power to the people. Thank you so much.
All power to the people. Sister Betty, I forgot to say something before that's very important and ties in with exactly what we're talking about. I just received a wonderful video interview with former political prisoner Daruba Bin Wahad, which is the story of Kamal Siddiqui, who is one of our political prisoners, Assata Shakur, who is in exile, and the Black Liberation Army. So this is quite wonderful, yes. And if you go to jerichony.org, it's right on the left-hand side. It's not down very far. And I would really encourage people to click on that link and take the time. I think it's only about half an hour or so. Watch that video. It's very good. Excellent interview that's done by this brother who calls himself I Mix What I Like. He does some wonderful pieces. And I got this one, and just yesterday I was watching it. It is really tremendous, and it really ties in with what we were just talking about as well. So I had forgotten to mention that before, and I said, oh, my Lord, I forgot to talk about this great video. So, yeah, I would encourage people definitely go to jerichony.org. I linked it there to I Mix What I Like. You can click on it, and it'll take you right to this video, and you can watch this excellent interview with Daruba Bin Wahad about Kamal Siddiqui, Assata Shakur, and the BLA, which is important history for all of us to know. Yeah.
All right. Before we go to the tape, which I hope will play, of Reverend Pinkney's words on Sister Lynn, I would like to ask Brother Matt Turner, I think you have some event coming up soon where you will be performing.
Oh, no, we already did that this past Sunday at the Lantern Hall in Brooklyn. It was part of the Workers Unite Film Festival, but I'll be at the Left Forum. Our group will be at the Black Box Theater on Saturday, June 3rd at the Left Forum.
Yes, thank you. Give them a say it again, please.
Saturday, June 3rd at the Left Forum in the Black Box Theater. I think it will be part of the noontime performances or lunchtime performances that they often have.
All right, folks, I think I have it.
Years of struggling against equality, oppression, and injustice. You knew the blindfolded lady with the balanced scales of justice no longer exists here in America. But Lynn Stewart fought for us all. Lynn Stewart is my hero. She is also my friend. when I think of everything we have been through together, Lynn, you and I, we both have been to prison for crimes that was never committed. I am real sure that friend is not a big enough word to describe you, Lynn Stewart. What Lynn was to me, she never failed to give me what I needed, whether it was comfort and understanding or whatever. Lynn Stewart told it like it is. I knew in her heart she wanted the best for me. In her heart, and it made me feel very protected. Lynn Stewart, you have been tried and tested. In my heart, you are still standing with me, side by side. As far as I am concerned, we will always be that way together. Always be that way together, you and I. Because you are so much more than just a friend. You are part of my heart. We all owe you, Lynn Stewart. You have given life for justice for all. So I say this to you. Rest in peace, Lynn Stewart. Rest in peace, your friend, always, Reverend Edward King.
That was beautiful.
Darius, are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Thank you, Noel.
And
we have to thank Noel for that, too. If Noel didn't do all that great work, we wouldn't have a lot of these commentaries, you know? She's really been amazing and consistent and been doing it for years, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the up with regards to Mamiya at this point?
Well, the judge had ruled that the discovery can go forward. So that's what they're doing now, getting all the old paperwork, you know, with Castile and everything on it. I'm sure that will be a mountain of stuff to go through. I'm sure it'll take a little while. I'm not sure if he put an actual date on when they have to turn it over by, but he probably did. So that's then, you know, all lawyers will have to go through that and see what they can pull out of there. And it's very hopeful, though, you know, to get that kind of legal precedent for any of our political prisoners. Certainly for Mumia would be wonderful to, you know, have either them declare, okay, you've done your time served, you're out of here, or we're having a new trial in which he gets totally exonerated. You know, either one of those would be fantastic. So, you know, it's very hopeful that the initial ruling certainly is a good one. I don't know whether the state of Pennsylvania is going to try to appeal that ruling. I haven't heard anything to that effect yet. So hopefully not, but knowing how they are, you know, look what they did about the Hep C, you know, I mean, they tried to squash that too. So, you know, they're very amazingly arrogant and ridiculous when it comes to casually violating the Constitution every day, you know, and saying, oh, but that's okay. No, it's not. And, you know, people have to be held to account. So hopefully this will finally, you know, start some of those bricks falling out of the walls. And then we'll have Mumia back with us, which would be fantastic and a great victory for everybody. And then we'll continue
Thank
on. And we'll keep doing this until we get everybody out. You know, this is our goal. I know we're going to have more political prisoners in the coming time. That's quite clear. And we will be supporting everybody. And we will be trying to get everybody back out here with us. Oh, and the other political prisoner who's going to talk at the opening plenary of the Left Forum is Oscar Lopez Rivera. So we'll have Oscar Lopez Rivera.
Oscar's going to be able to travel to New York.
After tomorrow, he's off of house arrest. So he's going to be coming to New York for a series of things. But he's going to be speaking at the opening plenary of the Left Forum, along with Sekou Odinga, which is fantastic. I don't know if they've ever met in the past in their travels through, you know, the federal system. But if they have not, I'm sure they'll be happy to meet each other. And then Oscar's going to be doing a whole series of things. He's going to be, I think this stuff, June 8th, 9th, and 10th. And he's going to march in the Puerto Rican Day Parade. And then he's going to be speaking at the UN Decolonization Committee. All of this will be happening in June, and there will be public events, you know, for him. I will have to put them all up on my website because there's a whole bunch of them coming up. And let people can go and check it out. I haven't put them up yet, but I will be doing that very shortly. So this was, you know, fantastic that, you know, Oscar's free. I wish that, you know, Mr. Obama there, as we call him, hadn't been so waffly and could have also done Leonard Peltier, which would have been fantastic and, you know, really healed a lot of, you know, very deep wounds in the Native community. But, of course, he did not have the courage to do that. But, you know, we're happy for Oscar. You know, Oscar was very principled back in 1999. He could have walked out the door, and he said, no, all of us or none. It didn't include Carlos Alberto Torres. It didn't include Aide Beltran Torres. And he said, no, all of us or none. And, you know, you have to admire that. The man had the chance to say, okay, I can come home. And I'm sure it was hard for him to explain that to his family. But, you know, he's totally a principled human being. And it would be really an honor to ever meet him, you know, and just to say thank you for all that you've done, you know. And so he'll be there. So who will be there? That'll be good. And this is really good because we one of our criticisms
like
of the web forum for years. Oh, go ahead.
I'd like to say that the Hep C, not only all of the things you said about Oscar are so true, and we could emulate him, all of us or none of us. This was a saying coming out of the leftist struggle back in the 30s. All of us or none of us, but we have forgotten that. But we must also remember that Hep C was not only Mumia's problem, not only the prisoners of Pennsylvania's problem,
everybody's
but the
problem.
Problem of everybody in the state. It's a national problem and an international problem, and the cure is there. But it's another example of the corporations raping their world. They could do, I forget the amount, it's so ridiculous, including research. People say, oh, it only costs 50 cents, but when you put research into it, we get to 89 cents. And they're charging, what is that, $120 per pill?
That is ridiculous, the amount of
markup.
Money.
That is some markup. And so while we're talking about that, in India and around the world, we could be looking at a pandemic of this Hep C, and it's slow. It eats at your body slow. It's your liver. But I'm looking forward to the first. I'd love to see Pennsylvania release Mumia Abu-Jamal because of the inconsistencies in his trial. But if they don't release him and give him a new trial, I'm putting on notice. I'm coming out of retirement. P.I. Pointer is on the scene. I want to do that case in the worst way. And as Lynn used to say, I always wanted to do the biggest cases, but I never wanted the biggest cases to be my own. Well, I'm still there. Mumia is a big case, and I look forward to seeing him free. And if they give him a new trial, I've seen 50 holds in the prosecution. And there are probably 100 holes in the
Mumia.
I want to be the one to dig it up. Thank
you. Well, that would be great. Thank you. That's,
well, Ted,
and that's also something that all of our political prisoners are very happy when they heard about, you know, this whole thing happening with Mumia. Everybody was, you know, what is it? What is it? You know, so I had to explain, you know, in detail because I can't send an article that says Mumia Abu-Jamal into the prisons because they won't let it in. So, you know, I talk with Jaleel, I talk with Seth, I talk with Herman. Everybody wanted to know, what is this? So I explained what, you know, what I knew. I read the piece that Rachel Volkenstein had put together. She's a lawyer, so she knows what she's talking about. It was short and to the point, you know, this is what's happening. And they were all saying, too bad we can't get something like that. Because if we could get everybody back in the courts and show all of the constitutional violations, the use of torture, the coercion of witnesses, the lying by the prosecutors, you know, the persecutorial misconduct, which to me is a misnomer. It's criminal behavior by the prosecutors, and they should be held responsible. We could probably get a lot of our people out, but it's so hard to get them back into court.
And I wonder to see if we can't get Jan Lahman in here to take us home.
Jan, we're still doing the Take Action for Anti-Imperialist Political Prisoner, Jan, who is a hero to many of us for speaking out, First Amendment rights. Human rights are not supposed to stop at the prison wall. It's still up on JerichoNY.org. I will encourage people to please go there, write to Jan, write and call the warden, and all the information is there. His email is there. His phone is there. His fax is there. And you can also contact Mary M. Mitchell, who's the regional director of the BOP in Stockton, California. And you can also write to Thomas Kane, who's the director of the federal BOP in D.C. Because even though people have been calling and writing, as far as I know, he's still in the hole. need to get him out.
Alrighty, Sister Betty, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sister Betty. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Larry.
That song raises.
I love this song.
The hatless, the back of my neck and my arm, and one day I'm gonna take a big piece of the program to talk about the history. That song in 1965.
I wish I knew how to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say, say them loud, say them clear. For the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all